KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action, stories of community service from the campus of Fresno State, with host Chris Fiorentino on Fresno State Radio, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Chris Fiorentino, and I want to thank you for joining us this morning. I'm excited to welcome our guests, Fresno State Provost and Vice President of Academic Affairs, Dr. Lynette Zalesny, and Professor of Music and Fresno State's Faculty Service Learning Scholar, Dr. Benjamin Boone. Lynette, Ben, thanks for being here. Lynette, ladies first, tell us a little about yourself and your journey here at Fresno State.
Thanks very much, Chris, and Happy New Year. What a nice question and a nice way to begin this conversation about service in action. My husband John and I came to Fresno 1987, and it was actually very intentional. We chose Fresno as a place in which we thought that we would be able to work every day of our lives, bringing our professions to Fresno, and that it would make a difference. And that has turned out to be the case. So it was a joy when we came to Fresno that John had a tenure track position in College of Arts and Humanities as an expert in media law. And I, at that time, was raising then our two children. But the following year, I got a job as a lecturer. And I remained a lecturer here at Fresno State for 10 years in psychology, raising now the three children, and was a reentry student going back to get my graduate degree, my PhD in applied social psychology. And that actually is a graduate degree very similar to the topic of our program today, which is psychology in action. How do you take psychology out and make a difference? And so I was very, very privileged to serve as the chair of psychology for some time and then moved into an opportunity in the business school. I was the associate dean of business. Then got a great opportunity to put my business degree. I also have an MBA, put that into action when I was appointed to serve in Department of Continuing Global Education, and loved that job. That was being an entrepreneur, and loved to think about how to connect with the community. Moved on to also be the associate provost, and lo and behold, ended up being appointed the full-time provost under President Castro. So it's been a fantastic journey at Fresno State, and it's been great. I've served in almost every role in the academic affairs side, and so I really feel like this has been my home and that I'm here to be a great advocate for the people who serve here.
It's quite a resume, this most recent stop and most recent line on your resume, provost. Most people outside of academia have no idea what that word means. Explain what a provost is.
Well, a provost is the chief academic officer, and so it's a great job. It's a joyful job. It is the vice president that oversees all of the academic curriculum, the hiring of the academic leadership, the faculty, which is the piece that I most enjoy, our amazing faculty. And I also oversee academic-related centers. So we have 50 centers on campus, and those also report to the provost. Probably the most interesting thing about the provost role and the reason that it has a unique title is the provost serves as really the number two to the president. So when the president is away, it's the provost that has to step in to fill that role and to support, especially in times of crisis.
So you're the number two person at Fresno State.
That's right. Yeah. It's a fantastic job, and I absolutely love it. It's a great fit for me.
Right. Ben, how about you? What brought you to Fresno? Tell us a little about your role here and what you do.
Well, I came here in 2000 and it was rather a circuitous path. But before I fully answer the question, let me piggyback on what the provost just said about her resume. I'd just like to say that we're overjoyed as a faculty to have a provost that has the experience that she's had and the faculty-centered approach that she's been taking since she's been in that role. And we've known her for a long time as a faculty member and then in her various roles. And so we feel very comfortable with her. And so I can say that my teaching at Fresno State has really been augmented by having a provost of that caliber. And I think most faculty, if not all of faculty, feel exactly the same way. So you're doing a great job, and we greatly appreciate all of the support that you've given the faculty here. Well, I came here in 2000, and my decision to come to Fresno State was intentional, like the provost was intentional. I was actually really drawn by the mission of the California State University system to give a comprehensive, high-quality, and low-cost education to the populace of California was something that really meant a lot to me. I was a beneficiary of a public education and a public university. I attended University of Tennessee, where I learned about jazz and jazz performance and also got a theory degree. Then I went on tour with various jazz groups, and I got a master's degree at Boston University, then did some promotional work in New York City, and then ended up getting a doctorate degree, and then taught at University of Tennessee for a while. And then I had a good job there. But I looked at the mission of California State University, and I was speaking with my good friend, novelist Danny Foltz-Gray, and I was going over some possibilities because they were starting to put like 100 people in every music theory class, and there was a budget crisis there. And so he said, wow, my favorite poet ever teaches at Fresno State. So you have to check that out. It's a serious place. Phil Levine teaches there. And so I looked at Fresno State, came out here, and the rest is history. I absolutely love it here. I love the mission of the university. I love the population that we serve. I love feeling like I'm making a difference and can contribute to what's going on here. So I'm extremely fortunate to have the position that I have and to be able to be involved not only in teaching in the music department, but also be involved in some of the service learning activities here.
That's amazing. Phil Levine has some connection with you coming here, and I know you wear a lot of other hats. You're a celebrated composer and a top-selling jazz musician, and you've worked on a project with Phil Levine. So not only are you in the classroom, but you're also out doing this profession of music at the same time.
I am, and part of the reason for that is I think that I need to model to our students what it is we're training them to do. And if I'm not active out in the real world of music performing and composition, then how can I really feel good about teaching my students to do that? So Phil and I did collaborate on a project where we recorded him reading 29 of his poems to my compositions. And this was, I'm proud to say, this was his last creative work before he passed on about a couple of years ago now. And that's finally coming to fruition. And a little while ago, back in December, started some really good conversations with some really, really excellent international labels. And hopefully that'll be coming out sometime soon. Fresno State's provided me with so many opportunities in so many ways. And one of those is working with U.S. Poet Laureate and Pulitzer Prize winning poet Phil Levine. And I'm also engaged in a project with the current U.S. Poet Laureate, Juan Felipe Herrera, and I'll actually be collaborating with him on something this coming April at the Library of Congress, so I'm really excited about that.
And if any of you want to check out Ben's stuff, go to benjaminboone.net, right, Ben?
That's
benjaminboone.net. Shameless plug there. I'll do it for you.
Thanks, Chris.
Ben, let's turn our attention a little bit to the topic at hand for today's show, this idea of service learning. You're probably, as the service learning faculty scholar, you're probably the best person to explain this. What is service learning?
Sure. Well, I don't know if I'm the best person, but I'll give it a go. One of the things that I love about the concept of service learning and seeing it in implementation is that what I really want to do is have an impact on my students first and foremost. That's what the taxpayers of California, that's why they hired me. And so I want to do the best thing I can do for my students. And service learning is a high impact practice that it's demonstrated to have a number of fabulous effects on the students. But what differentiates it from other types of service is that in service learning, you not only have meaningful and possibly sustainable service in the community, but you also have an enhanced academic experience for the students. What I mean by enhanced academic experience is that they're going to learn deeper in a more personal and profound way than they would if they were learning the material in some other way. And then the third component of service learning, we have meaningful service to the community, we have enhanced academic learning, is purposeful civic learning, for lack of a better term, meaning that you very intentionally talk to students about the community in which the university resides or the community in which they live. What are some of the issues that's facing the populace of that region or the city or some of the community benefit organizations? And the piece of all of this that makes it just so meaningful to me is how can you take what you're learning in the class and the skills that you're learning at the university and apply them for benefit of the community while you're learning the subject that you're learning even deeper. So I'm not sure that was coherent or concise,
It definitely was. But, you know, I think one of the mistakes that we make a lot of times is that we think, well, this is volunteerism that they get some credit for. And it's not the same as volunteerism. I mean, I'm a blood donor and I go in every few weeks and I donate platelets and I enjoy it and it's something I feel good about. But there's no academic learning. There's no course-based curriculum that is behind that, that I'm not associating my service with. I'm not getting academic credit for that experience. And I'm not necessarily learning that civic dimension. What's my role in using this information that I learn in a classroom and applying it to issues in the community? So it really is, it's this course-based piece. And Lynette, I'd love to turn it back to you. I mean, since service learning is a specific approach to teaching and learning, you know, it falls under your leadership area at Fresno State, right? So do you support this? I mean, and why?
I am a huge champion of it. When I was a faculty member, I also was involved in teaching service learning. But as the provost and as a leader that expresses the values that we represent at Fresno State, we have the value of learning and serving. And so that is one of the reasons that we were one of the first universities to be classified as a Carnegie Engaged University. It is because of that value. And that value is a community value as well, is to serve. And we hear it from our community advisory boards. And that is why the College of Business, that they were the first college to require every single student to graduate with a service learning component, and that is on their resume. As Ben noted, it is a pedagogy, and it is something that we take very seriously at Fresno State, and it is also something that students value. It's something the students want more of. We've done research on the benefit of service learning on our students, and what we have found is that it's our big winner when it comes to high-impact practices, particularly for underrepresented students. And what they share with us is that they are learning how to serve in the community in which they're likely going to live. 80% of our students will remain in our service region, but they are learning about being a civic leader. They are learning about how their discipline is relevant to the benefit of others. It's one of the most important things that we do here. And again, when we think about students and their academic roadmap, I never separate the academic courses that they take with the things that I would prefer that they become engaged in. And service learning is one of those that is a high priority.
And you mentioned the research piece and this idea of high impact practices. And Ben, you mentioned that term also, and it being a winner in terms of high impact practices. Impacting what? What difference is it making for the students?
It makes a difference in three ways. So students that participate in service learning will graduate in a more timely manner. This is hugely important because it gets those students into leadership roles in the community and into their professional world. Secondly, we retain them. But third, their reflection back to us on the relevance, the meaning of their education, which will be lasting forever, is again the third impact. So for us, this is a place where we're investing a lot of our top faculty, and we're so fortunate to have Ben as the lead scholar in service learning. And we're out always recruiting for our faculty members to develop service learning courses. It's something that the student body brings to me every year. I can always predict almost the first thing that they're going to mention to me is, we need more service learning courses. So I have actually moved forward in making sure that we have enough professional development funding and opportunities for faculty members to become involved.
Mm. And I think that this whole issue that this is research driven, that when students take part in these kinds of service learning classes, they gain more than if they wouldn't have been in a service learning class. Ben, anything to add to that as far as the research goes?
Well, I think that you're right, Chris. I think the reason for a professor to have their students do service learning is if they feel like the learning can be deepened, if more meaning can be given about the discipline to the student and the student can take more out of it. There's been a lot of research about high impact practices. There's been a lot of research about service learning. And the nice thing about service learning is that it can be used in conjunction with a lot of the other high impact practices. And if you look at first year and senior year, your service learning experiences, and you compare the benefits in a number of different quadrants with other high impact practices, you'll see that overall service learning is the leader when it comes to the positive impact of high impact practices. So that seems a little bit sterile what I'm saying. I think in looking at some student experiences might be a better way for your listeners to gauge the impact of high impact practices. I'm thinking right now of several years ago when we had a service learning project with Tillman Education Center, and I was teaching a lot of students in the music department who wanted to be music teachers, but they weren't sure if they really wanted to go into music education or music performance or some other field. And I remember really, really distinctly this one student who maybe was thinking she didn't want to be a teacher. And we were involved with these students who'd been essentially swept under the rug. No arts program had ever engaged these students there. And she was a vocal major, and she was teaching some students how to sing certain songs, but also play an instrument. And this one woman that she'd been working with was very, very hesitant, this one student at Tillman, to even touch a piano. There was something going on with touching a piano. And so she was encouraging, and over the course of the project, she got this student, this young girl, to finally touch a piano. And I was there when she actually touched the piano and made a note. And she broke out crying, and she said, "I never believed that I was worthy to play a musical instrument." And my student then talked to her about that. I stood back and just watched, and my student was talking about the power of music and how music can be used to express. And this student at Tillman Education Center learned how to play songs on the piano and sing along with the piano, and it transformed that student's life. And that student of mine, she became the best student in the music department. She took everything she did seriously, and she's out in the community teaching at a level and with an understanding that she never would have had if I just stuck to what was in the textbook. So that's one little vignette that to me says both my student and that student in the community learned more than textbook knowledge. Yeah. And that's the meaning and the power of service learning.
It really sounds like, certainly for that student, and I think in others too, that it really ignites that passion, amplifies the passion that they have for whatever subject they're studying. You know, obviously Fresno State's made a big commitment to this. I think it started back in the late 90s when President Welty was here. And now jump ahead 18 years or so to where we are today. There's whole new leadership on campus, Lynette. You know, we have a new president, new vice presidents. Is service learning still something that they support, that leadership of the university supports?
It's absolutely front and center. And I think that as you hear President Castro in the community, it's one of the things he's most proud of. It's a pride point for us. And again, I think of also the important word that Ben just used, which is it's transformative. And I think as educators here at Fresno State, we think about students and their education in a very unique way. I think that the faculty think about holistic student education. So we're thinking about not just teaching students what we know about our discipline, how to apply the discipline, how to make a difference, how to become a civic leader. And again, I think that service learning is really a huge driver of the holistic education that we have at Fresno State. And I think the example that Ben just gave is such a touching example. And I think also of the things that we've done here in very innovative ways. And Chris, I want to thank you as well for listening sometimes to my ideas that are a little outside of the box. And I'll remember a conversation when I was the associate provost that I said, "Hey, why don't we put two high impact practices together, international study abroad and service learning? And what do you think about that crazy idea?" And I loved the bold thinking, and I loved the student leadership because it was the students that brought that to fruition. And now we have a waiting list of students that want to go on our Fiji trip at Intercession. And it is something also that the president talks about when he's out telling our story about the impact that the study abroad service learning opportunity for students has made for our leaders and our students here at Fresno State.
In a few weeks, we're going to have a faculty member and a couple of students who have participated in an international service learning experience in Fiji come and be with us. And that's, I'm sure, going to be a great show. So we invite you all to tune back in. You know, obviously the administration is supportive. I understand this is even connected to some of the campus's guiding documents, our strategic plan.
Yeah. And the high impact practices actually is articulated in the university strategic plan. It is our number one priority in the academic affairs strategic plan, which is under the umbrella of the university plan. And so we actually have a working committee that's been working very, very hard, which has a faculty leader and an administrative leader, student leaders, thinking about high impact practices and how we can bring more service learning and as well other high impact practices to our students.
And I think that the strategic plan and the academic plan both specifically state not only high impact practices, but they mention service learning as sort of, you know, the example of a high impact practice that we're aiming for.
Absolutely, because when people think about who we are as Fresno State, the faculty and the students, by and large, will say, we serve. That's what we do at Fresno State. And so it is our identity. And I'm proud to say, you know, one of my pride points is bringing fabulous faculty here. And when I share with them, you know, this is who we are at Fresno State. We're mission driven and we are all about serving. And so if you're interested in a job at Fresno State, that mission needs to be in alignment with your heart. And I don't lose many faculty members. They are folks that want to come and serve alongside of us. And they know it's a real privilege to do so. Mm-hmm.
Ben, obviously the administration is supportive. What about the faculty? Are current faculty supportive? Are the new faculty that are coming in supportive?
Well, let me first just respond to what the provost just said. I mean, when she was saying we're mission-driven and in action and in words, the upper administration is saying that they really not only want students to graduate on time, but they care about the quality of the education that the students are receiving, and they care about the community in which we live. This is gold for a faculty member. I mean, your listeners may not know that, but California State University faculty members aren't getting paid what the UCLA faculty members are being paid or whatever, but we get more enrichment because you can't put a money value on how you feel when you feel like you've done something good for the community and you've really helped your students see and empowered them to take their knowledge that they're learning and apply it, for lack of a better term, the greater good. So for me as a faculty member to have a provost and president that care about the community and really care about more than just plain learning, that's absolute gold for me. And I think that in my role with the Richter Center as faculty service learning scholar, I give service learning workshops to train people in service learning over the course of the academic year, and also some intensive sessions after the end of the semester, like after this spring semester, we'll be doing that again for designated service learning courses. And the faculty members that come to those are just so energized and they're so grateful. They teach at a place that has this as one of its primary foci. And so I think there's a real synergy among faculty about getting behind high impact practices around service learning. And they're some of the most interesting people that I've met on campus are the people that are involved in service learning. So I don't think that it's reasonable to expect that everyone would engage in a particular type of pedagogy. And it probably wouldn't be good if everybody did. But certainly an ever-growing number of faculty are really not only engaged in service learning, but it's reinvigorating their teaching and their students are excelling and becoming leaders on campus. So there's a real synergy there. And it's something that is really exciting. A few facts and figures that might be interesting to your listeners, like how many classes? Well, around 200 service learning classes are taught each year, and that involves somewhere around 5,500 students or so. And for those business people who want to think of economic impact, that's around 125,000 hours of service a year. So around the time that our graduates graduate, around 55% of them have taken at least one service learning course. And that's growing every year. So it's really an exciting time to be at Fresno State.
So for almost a quarter of the students that are enrolled in the university every year are involved in a service learning class. They're doing 125,000 hours of service, I think you said. And those are great numbers. I think that the goal is to build those. And I think that they are continuing to grow. Ben, I know you've told me before that really, getting involved in service learning re-energized you as a faculty member. And I think that that's the other thing, that just like any profession, a faculty member can get a little stale and tired. And we don't ever want that to happen. I'm wondering if you can give a couple of other examples. Ben, you work with faculty all over the campus. So how does this look in a class in some other area? You mentioned your course. And Lynette, you mentioned when you taught in psychology, having a service learning class. Is there another example or two that you can think of? We've got a couple of minutes left.
Oh, absolutely. So very quickly, the first thing that comes to mind, I'm working with my colleague Thomas Lowenheim with the Youth Orchestras of Fresno and Ken Froelich, my colleague in music. And this is going to be implemented just in a few weeks when classes start. The essence of that project is that my composition students are going to be composing small movements for the Youth Orchestras of Fresno. But based on interviews that Alice Daniel is doing in the journalism department, she's my wife, going to weave those interviews based on different ethnicities that comprise what the Valley is. So, you know, Hispanic, Hmong, Armenian, et cetera. We'll have movements based on folk tunes of each of those, interweaved with interviews of people from that culture around the theme of what does it mean to call this valley home, with the message that we in this valley are inclusive and we contribute to this. So that's a collaboration with other faculty members. Then we have great people in the faculty like Don Williams in physics, who has a team of people that go around and give physics demonstrations to local schools. And they do reflection on, well, did this work? Did that work as far as the education goes? We have Leslie over and Bhupinder over in physical therapy, and their students are involved with a number of different community benefit organizations, teaching how you can get patients in and out of bed without straining yourself, etc. They're learning all of these things, but they're teaching these different organizations best practices in that. Then we have Betsy Hayes with her PR students, and she has a scaffolded program where they take on a community benefit organization. They do an entire marketing campaign for them at lower levels. They'll just start doing maybe some press releases and things like that, but at the end they take on an organization and do a whole revamp of all of their public relations activities. So in all of the colleges and in a plethora of departments, we have faculty that are really active in service learning, doing really great things.
Great examples, and there's a couple hundred of those. You know, we're running out of time. I want to close. Lynette, I know you know George Mahaffey. I met George one time, big higher education leader across the nation. And I heard George speak on campus one time here in Fresno, and he said, you know, if Harvard University, one of over a dozen colleges in Berkeley, if Harvard went out of business tomorrow, they shuttered their doors, the city of Boston in that region would hardly bat an eyelash. But if Fresno State closed tomorrow, this city and this region would feel the repercussions for decades. Obviously, this university has a critical role to play in this community. And just real quickly, where does the university's commitment to service and service learning fit into that?
Well, it's a very big part of the responsibility of being a public institution that Ben talked about at the first of the program. And we're an anchor institution. And what that means is that our responsibility as a public university is that we are responsible for bringing up the welfare of our community, the community that we serve. We are given taxpayer money, and they are our owners, and we serve them. And so the service piece is hugely important in our community because, again, we're training the future of the civic leaders and of the professional workforce. And without that value of service, without learning by serving, I don't think that we are benefiting our community in its best way.
Well, thank you. What a great pride point. And thank you both for being so influential in establishing this culture of service. We are out of time. I want to thank our guests again, Dr. Lynette Zalesny, Provost and Vice President for Academic Affairs, and Dr. Benjamin Boone for being with us today. And thank you to our listening audience for joining us this morning. Please join us again next Sunday morning and every Sunday morning at 11 for another Fresno State Service in Action program on KFSR. Also, please like us on Facebook at FS Service in Action. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at KFSR.org. Thanks and have a great day.
KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action every Sunday morning at 11. For a complete program schedule, visit KFSR.org.